Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Nun Gimel. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Natan Schlossinger, Natan Meir ben Chaim Baruch, and also Hyman Weinstein, Chaim ben Aharon. All the Shalms we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, I'm dictating this. It's still Erev Yom Kippur. Yezus Hashem, everyone should have a good Kibben Shtior, a Gemara Chasima Tova. We pick up the Gemara on the very last three words of Nun Beis Omud Beis with the words Omer of Yochanan. We'll remind ourselves what we're talking about as we turn to Nun Gimel Amud Aleph when we go over what Rav Yochanan says. And Rav Yochanan tells us, Nim Nuvagam, Rashi explains, they stood up, the Aleph and the Bach, is telling us, Ba'amdu Leminyan, they gathered together and they counted up the rabbis as to what the Psak Halach is. Virabu Hama'amarayim, and the majority of the Amarayim that were there, said that Eina Mikudeshes, when you're dealing over here with Hamakadesh Bechalko, back to the Gemara, Hamakadesh Bechalko, if a Kohen goes and takes his portion and tries to be Makadesh a woman, whether it's Bein Kotchi Kodashim or Bein Kotchi Kalim, whether he's taking something that he was entitled to as his chelik of Kotchi Kodashim or it was Kotchi Kalim, Lo Kidesh. That was the opinion of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that subsequently, even Rabbi Yehuda agreed to it, because now we have our Stam Mishnah, and that is the opinion even of Rabbi Yehuda, who we learned at the end of yesterday's year, had said that no, Mikudeshes in this situation. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yochanan, retracted. The Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, retracted his opinion, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Rav Amar Adayin Himachlokis. Rav said, no, the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, has not retracted his opinion. As Rashi points out, Lo Omdu Leminyan. Rashi says this never happened. They never got together, all them Aroyim and Paskin this way. And Velo Chazab Yehuda. And Yehuda didn't, therefore, defer to the majority opinion. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees still, and therefore says that a woman could be Mikudeshes when a Kohen gives her his chelik of either Kotchi Gadoshim or Kotchi Kalim. Amar Abaye, Kavasi, the Rav Yochanan Mistabra. Abaye says that Rav Yochanan's opinion makes very good sense, because we're going to bring down a long brisa right now, which we'll see is from Toras Kohanim. This is a Safra, which was written by Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see that it agrees that you can't be Mekanish a woman with his chelik, either from Kotchi Kedoshim or from Kotchi Kalim. And this long brisa that we're bringing down, Abaye says, is a riot to that which Rav Yochanan just said. So now let's learn the long brisa. The Tanya, we learned in this brisa from Torah's Kohanim, Minayin she'en chokim inochos kineged zavachim. How do we know that the Kohanim can't go and say, listen, we have a lot of korbanos today, our Beis Av is on, and these korban mincha offerings are being brought, and these korbanos, zavachim always refers to something that is shechted, these korbanos can be brought, and instead of each of us taking a half of a share, you take half of the Zvachim, and I'll take half of the Menachos, the Kohanim can say, listen, I prefer to have Mincha, you prefer to have Zvachim, I'll trade you an equal value, as Rashi says, Kifi Domim, Lomar Tol Atom Mincha, Vani Chaze Vishok, Obasur Chataz Yashem. So they have the right, one might have thought, how do we know that they're not allowed to do this? We need a pasuk to tell us they're not allowed to go and do what we might have thought is allowed, that you can exchange, okay, I'll take a double portion of meat, and you take a double portion of Mincha, we'll exchange our portions. How do we know you're not allowed to do that? Because the pasuk tells us. Now there are a lot of extra words in the pasukim that we're going to darshan, because everything could have been learned out from this first words. The whole mincha asher tiyof b'tanur l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyet. Every mincha that is brought, that is baked in an oven, so ultimately l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyet, it will come to the b'nei Aaron. And one could have learned out over here, therefore, that it belongs to the Bnei Aaron. You have to give it to all the Bnei Aaron. Everything has to be divided up equally, and you're not allowed to go and exchange something for somebody else. So that's what we learn now, that you can't be cholik mincha kineged zvachim, because it says the kol mincha, all of the mincha, has to go to all of the kohanim that are on that shift, and therefore, you can't go and exchange my share for your share, a mincha for a zevach. Okay, Mor says, okay, maybe Yochol Yachluku Minochos Kineged Zvachim. Maybe I can trade a flower offering for a basar. Shalom Kamu Tachteim Bedalus. As Rashi explains, you have certain korbanos that a rich person brings an offering, animal offering. A poorer person can bring a bird offering, and the Dali Dalos, the poorest person, can bring a flower offering. Now, we never find that you can exchange a mincha for a zebach. You can't ever exchange a flower offering for an animal offering. Because the next in the progression, if you can't bring an animal offering, you're too poor, then you bring bird offerings. And then only if you can't bring bird offerings are you allowed to bring the flower offerings, which are less expensive. So we never find that the flower directly replaces the zebach, the animal offerings. Shalom kamu takhtei and bedalos. Even in the poorest of people, it doesn't replace it directly. However, I might have said, but you could maybe exchange your portion of a flower offering for a portion that you would have in a bird burnt offering, let's say like a chatas, which a kohanim were allowed to eat, so you can exchange one for the other. Because shari kamo takteim bedalas, because if a person is so poor that he can't bring burnt offerings, he's allowed to, under certain situations, bring a flour offering. So therefore, I might have thought that those are interchangeable. That's why we need Talmud Lomar, the extra words, l'chol na'aseh b'macheshes, and then it tells us there as well, l'chol b'nei Aaron tihiyeh. So this teaches us that too, that the korbanos that are a mincha can't be exchanged for something that is a oaf, even though they are related, but one can't be exchanged for the other. And you can't learn this out from l'chol mincha sh'teyafenu b'tanur, because that we needed to tell us that you can't exchange a mincha for a zevach. So the extra words, b'chol na'aseh b'macheshes, come to teach us that you can't exchange a mincha for an oaf. Okay. Yochol lo yachluku minochos k'neged ofos. Okay, granted, you can't exchange a mincha for an oaf. You know why? Because shalol minei damim, valol minei kamachim. Because a bird offering is still malika is done to it. It has a form of shchita called malika done to it, and its dam is put on the mizbeach. As opposed to flour offerings, no dam is put on the mizbeach. They're flour offerings. There is no blood. So therefore, I would have said that's why you can't exchange one for the other. Avo yachluku ofos k'neged zvachim. But you might have thought that you can exchange bird offerings for a animal offering. So somebody said, listen, I'll take a double portion of the chatas bird offering, and you can have my portion of the chatas that is an animal offering. I prefer to have fowl. I want to have the pigeon, and you can have the meat. So you might have thought that would be acceptable. Avo yachloku ofos k'neged zavachim shalol v'alol minei dam, because both of them are blood offerings in the sense that their blood is sprinkled or applied to the mizbeach in some way, shape, or form. So therefore, they could be exchangeable. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, it says also the al machavas, the extra words, telling us that this type of korban mincha also has to be given out to all the kohanim, and it can't be exchanged for anything else. And as Rashi says, it may no inyan zeh, we don't need it for a korban mincha. So then tnei olin zeh. It could be used to go and teach us this din of you can't exchange a ov for a zevach. That's not allowed either. Okay, great. Okay, you told me just now, I understand, that you can't exchange a bird for a zevach. Because they're done differently. The shchita of an animal is done with a knife, whereas the shchita of a bird is not called shchita, it's called malika, and it's done with the right fingernail of the kohen who's doing the malika. So therefore, that's why they can't be exchanged one for the other. However, if they're both the same type of offering, maybe you can exchange your portion in mincha. Listen, I like the deep-fried ones, and you like the less fried one, the shallow fried ones, so you'll take a double portion of the deep fried ones, I'll take a double portion of the shallow fried ones, and I can exchange my mincha for your mincha. Maybe you think that would be allowed. Shalom v'lo masi miyad, both of them are hand offerings. There's no shchita, there's no malika, so maybe they could be exchanged. Talmud Lomar, that's why we have another pasuk that says, v'chol mincha v'luluv ha-shemen l'chol b'nei aro, that any mincha, b'luluv ha-shemen. Again, im eino inyan zeh, we already know, kol mincha she'tiyofeh b'tanur. So this comes, the extra kol mincha b'luluv ha-shemen, comes to teach us that you can exchange one mincha for another mincha. Gemara says, okay, great, that would be the exact same mincha. Yochel lo yachluku machavas k'negi macheshes. I can't exchange one type of mincha, a machavas, with a macheshes, another type of mincha. So the machavas is what we call a shallow pan. The pan is not so deep, so the flour is spread out well over the entire pan, Rashi explains, and therefore, when the oil is put in, a certain amount of oil is put in for all the minchas, it's all the same amount. So if you have a very shallow pan, so it spreads out over the entire pan, and therefore, it becomes very hard, because it will fry it well. Whereas, if you have a deep pan, the marcheshes, so the oil doesn't get spread out so much, it's deeper, but doesn't get spread out so much, so therefore, it makes the flour offering that is softer. So that's racha. So therefore, I can understand you can't exchange machavas for macheshes because machashes k'neged machavas or macheshes k'neged machavas because they're two different types of physical consistencies. Again, the machavas is going to be harder and the macheshes is going to be softer. Shazu maseim rakim. So the deep pan offerings, the macheshes, they're going to be softer because, as I said, the oil is more in one place, it's not so spread out, therefore it only fries the top so well, it doesn't fry the bottom so well. Zoom my same question. The machavas is spread out more, so the oil gets to burn everything, and they're harder. So that's why you can't exchange one for the other, because they're different consistencies. But maybe, avo yachluku, machavas k'neged machavas, or macheshes k'neged macheshes, if the exact same type of mincha, so maybe two people brought a mincha. Reuven brought a mincha, Shimon brought a mincha. So the first Kohen says, listen, I'll take a double portion from Reuven's Marcheshes, and you take a double portion from Shimon's Marcheshes. Or if it was a Machabas, you take a double portion from the Reuven's Machabas, and I'll take a double portion from Shimon's Machabas. It's the same thing. Shalom v'alol, masem koshim, o inami, masem rachim, because they're both the same. Either they're hard, or they're both soft. So therefore, maybe that should be allowed. Tamalom tells us one more time, v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aaron tia. Even the chareva has to be to all of them. In other words, and again, we have the same idea that for none of these offerings can you exchange one for the other. So Gemara says, okay, that's all of these, all mincha offers are kodesh kedoshim, so yochol lo yachlaku b'kodesh kedoshim. So this tells me by kodesh kedoshim, you can't exchange one portion for the other one. However, maybe avol yachlaku b'kodesh kalim, but in kodeshim kalim, maybe you can exchange. Talmud Lomar, that's what we need, another pasuk that says, ish kiyochiv v'somach le im al todah. So here it says by the mincha, it says ish ki achiv, and then right next to it, it says im al todah. So therefore, through this concept of smichos, that's a simple way to understand this, through the concept of smichos, so we're connecting these two dinim to teach us, k'shem she'en chokim b'kodesh kedoshim, just like the kodesh kedoshim can't have a chaluka, kach ein chokim b'kodesh kalim, so too by kodesh kalim, you're not allowed to have a chaluka. Tosus points out, this is a little bit problematic, because if we're saying that this Brisa, which is from Vayikra, Torah's Kohanim, is in fact the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So we also know elsewhere, the top Tosis tells us that we know that Rabbi Yehuda is famous for his opinion that he's only Dorish Smuchim b'Mishnah Torah, in Devarim. He's not Dorish Smuchim in Vayikra. So therefore, we have a problem over here. So if you're telling me that this is Smichus over here, he doesn't Dorish that. So Tosis answers, Yishlomar, the Lav Smuchim Mamish. It's not a Smuchim Drush over here, but it's a Vav. It says, Vizos Toras Zevach HaShlomim. And that's really, the Vav connects it. It's not Smichos, it's the Vav connecting it, and therefore the Drush is a good Drush. Okay. Gemara continues and tells us, by the way, the Pasuk just said, Ish Kiyochiv, so Ish Cholek Afilu Bamum. Now Tosus points out that that's actually not learned out from over here, that's learned out from elsewhere, but it's the second part that's critical over here. So it just throws in the first part for, by the way, this is the din, which is the din, that a man is cholik, he gets a portion, even if he's a balmum. So if your mishmor is on, your besav is on, your mishmor is on, and you're a balmum, so you can't do the avoda, but you're entitled to a chelik of the matnos kahuna that are from these korbanos. So Ish tells us that a man gets, whether he's a balmum or not, if he's part of that mishmar, he gets a chelik. So Ish cholik afilu balmum, as opposed to the enkotl cholik afilu tam. But a cotton is not entitled to get a share, and even if he's not a balmum, even if it's a tam, he's still not entitled to get a share. So that's what we dashed out for in the Ish. It's the second part Tosus points out, and the first wasn't really necessary because that we learn out Kol Zocher L'Rabos Balmum, that's learned out elsewhere. And this drush over here was just to teach us Shein Koin Kot L'Cholek V'Afilu Tam. Okay. Now, here's the conclusion of Abaye's proof. He says, who's the author of this Brisa? Now we went through this whole Brisa. It shows that you're not entitled to your own chelik. It's you're only given what you have, but you can't exchange one for the other, so therefore you don't really own it. So Stam Sifra Mani, who's the author of this Sifra? Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. I, you see, who kamar de les ba din chaluk or klal. And he doesn't allow you to exchange one for the other. Therefore, he holds it's not yours. And therefore, he holds that he retracted his original position to say that you could be Mekadesh a girl with your kotchik kadoshim or your kotchik kalim. So we see that he ultimately retracted that from this braisa, shma mina, that Rav Yochanan is correct, that Rav Yehuda retracted his opinion. Okay. Now Gemara says, who says Rav is wrong? Amar Rava, Ucharav, Milotanya. But Rav, who says that Rav Yehuda did not retract it, has another Brisa to support him. Rava says, this is his Brisa. Hatsnuim Moshrin Es Yedeyim. Now, this is dealing the top of the wide lines in Rashi. So Rashi gives a little background over here. He says, this is the din by Gabi Lechem Aponim. That Tanya, we learned, Arbaim Shana, Shishimi Shimon HaTzadik, the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was such a great Kohen Gadol. He was such a holy person. It says that every year the shani turned into white, the red bindle turned into white, because they were always doing tshuva during his 40 years. And during his period of time, there were nisim niflos going on in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ner Maravi never went out, and the people were on a very high spiritual level. So during his 40 years, another nes occurred. Nishtalcha brocha belechem upon him. Hashem made a special brocha belechem upon him. The whole Kohen Hamagio Kizayis Yesh Ochel Visavea. That every Kohen got the Kizayis and it filled them up, it satisfied them. They didn't need a lot. So Yesh Ochel Umosir. And they would eat and there would be even left over. Mikan Ve'elech. However, after that, after the years of 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, so the people had a spiritual decline. So Nishtalcho Me'era Balechem upon him. And Nebuch the Lechem upon him became cursed. The Kohen Hamagio Kipul. instead of getting a little bit that you got, what turned out to be a kezayis, so here now is like a little small bean. And hatznuim, therefore, moshin yedem, the tznuim, the very righteous and humble people, they didn't bother taking it because they weren't yotzei by having kezayis and they weren't yotzei by being saveya. The lo ma'ani lumidi, therefore, there was no benefit for them taking it. And the hagargarin and the gluttonous people, the bad people, chokin, they took their share. Now it uses the lashon over here of chokin. Tznuim, the Brisa tells us, Moshlin es yedehem, and the Brisa continues, and it tells us, the har gar gironim chokim. Seemingly, the Brisa says that they exchange it. They said, okay, we'll take your share in the lecha padim, and you can have our share in something else. So this Brisa seems to align with Rav's opinion that Rabbi Yehuda never retracted, because this Brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So it says, no, not necessarily so. When it uses the lashon over here, my cholkim, when it says, bahagar gronim cholkim, it didn't mean that they exchanged, okay, we'll take your portion of the lechem upon him, and you can have our portion of something else. No, it meant cholkim. They just grabbed their portion of the lechem upon him, not to exchange it for something else, and therefore you don't have a raya that Rabbi Yehuda didn't retract, because it doesn't mean over here that they exchanged one for the other, implying that they owned it, and therefore could exchange it. It means they just grabbed it. Kedikatani seif, as it says over there, ma'isa b'echad, there once was such a kohen who was a gar grun. Tosu says that he grabbed it from another kohen gar grun. Shechotav chelko v'chel chaveiro. He took his own, he grabbed his own portion, and he grabbed his fellow gar grun's portion, and this way he had a nice sized piece for himself. And they called this gar grun, v'hayu karin oso, ben chamsen. They called him the guy that grabs stuff that he's not entitled to, ad yom moso, until the day of his death. So what do you see from over here? That this raya of Rava isn't correct, that we don't have a raya, the review that didn't retract, and that Rav's opinion that Rav Yehuda didn't retract is correct. You can't bring a raya from this brisa, because it's not telling us that they exchanged, it just means that they grabbed. Now, why was he called Bar Ben Chamson? So I'm a rabbi by Rav Shila. Rabbi, who was a son of Rav Shila, he said as follows. We have the pasuk from Tehillim, which tells us, Elokai, Palteini Miyad Rosha, Hashem, please give me deliverance from such a Rosha, Mikaf Mavel, from the hands of someone who causes Avla, the Chomets, and is a grabber. And he goes and takes things that he's not entitled to. So that's what we see, the Lashon of Ben Chamson. Alternatively, Rabba Amar Mihocha. Rabba said, it comes from a pasuk in Yeshaya. So it says, Limdu Heitev, Dirshu Mishpat, Ashru Chomets. The famous Haftorah, the read on Shabbos Chazon, Chazon Yeshaya. So it tells us over here that Limdu Heitev, learn kindness, well, Dirshu Mishpat, go seek out doing justice probably, and Ashru Chomots, go and make the person who grabbed, make him give back what he was taken from him. So Ashru Chomots, you see this Lashon Chomots was going straighten out the person that had been grabbed from, so you see Chomots is somebody who had been grabbing. Okay, so that's where we get the source for this word Chamson. Okay. Now we go back and discuss the Mishnah. The Mishnah, when we learned this, we said we learned in the Gemara, although I gave you some brief explanations, we have certain things that didn't make any sense. We had machlokas in between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and we had the opinions that didn't seem to fall through and continue through naturally. So now let's see it again. Meiser Sheni, so Rabbi Meir's opinion was Meiser Sheni, because he holds it's Mamon Gavawa, so Ben Mishogi, Ben Mezid Lo Kiddush. That was simple, Dibri Rameh, that was well understood, easy to understand, because he holds it's Meiser Sheni is Mamon Gavawa, and therefore you can't be Mekadish somebody with it, you don't own it. You have the right to eat it, but you don't have the right to be Mekadish one with it. So Rameh was straightforward and easy. But the second part of that we didn't explain, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shogeg, only if we gave Meiser Sheni B'Shogeg, then it's not able to make Kiddushin. But Mezid, if you intentionally gave Meiser Sheni Kiddush, V'chule. So that has to be explained, and we'll explain it momentarily. The Gemara said, won't give us the answer right now. We'll see it in a moment. But this will be the first thing that we'll have to explain. Why does Rabbi Yehuda distinguish between Shogeg, not Kiddush? If you give Meiser Sheni B'Shogeg, you're not Mekadesh the woman. But if you give it Mezid, you are Mekadesh the woman. So that'd be question number one that we'll have to answer. Then we will have to answer what the dinim were, that there was a dichotomy between them in terms of hektish, shogig versus mezid, and we'll explain that momentarily. But first, we have to find the source. How do we know that Rebbe Meir holds that it's mamun gavoa? Where do we see that Meiser Sheni is mamun gavoa? Minani mili. How does Rebbe Meir know this? So, Amar Ravacha, Rebbe Rava, Ravacha, who's the son of Rava, said, Mishmei de Gemara. He said it over the name of the Gemara. What does that mean? He said it over the name of the Gemara. So Rashi tells us, Mishmei de Gemara means, Kach nikba b'gemara. It was well known that this was their tradition. Ushkur b'fi b'nei beis hamedrash. And it was well known in the beis hamedrash, even though they couldn't attribute it specifically to one person. In any event, this memory was well known when we darshan in the pasuk from Vayikra, where it says, "V'chol masar ha'aretz," which is talking about Maisa Sheni, "mizera aretz," and we pre-aids, whether it's from a growth in the ground or whether it's from the fruit of a tree, "la Hashem hu kodesh Hashem." Two things over here. It belongs to Hashem, and it's kodesh la Hashem. So this teaches us, "la Hashem hu," it belongs to Hashem, and therefore, it's not yours. It's mamon gavoa, the lowly kadesh bu'isha. It belongs to Hashem. He gives you the right to eat it in Yerushalayim. Give it to your family to eat in Yerushalayim. Give it to your friends to eat in Yerushalayim. But it's not yours. You can be Mekadesh a woman with it. Below the Kadesh Bo Isha. So this is the source for Rabbi Meir Shita that Maisa Sheni is Mamu Gavon. So Gemara says, wait a second. Then, if that's true, you're telling me that Lashem Hu, Kodesh Lashem, means it belongs to Hashem, and you can't be Mekadesh a woman with it, why do we find by Truma? It says, Hare, Truma Smaisa, in regards to the Truma that you take off from Maisa, when the Levi gets his 10% for Maisa Rishon, he has to take off 1/10 of that. A Maisa and a Maisa, called Truma Smaisa, that he has to give to the Kohen. Now, it says, in regards to the Truma Smaisa, the Chsiv, Kain Tarim Ugamatem, Truma Sashem. This is called Truma Sashem. And it says, Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah, on Daf Nun Ches, we'll learn in a couple of days, Utnan, it says over there, HaMekadesh, now we have the Girsa Betruma, but on the side it says the proper Girsa, throughout the Shita today, it should be on the side, every time it says Betrumos instead of Betrumos, I'll read it each time Betrumos, so Utnan, HaMekadesh Betrumos, Bekudeshes, you can be Mekadesh a woman with Trumas Meiser. So in this situation, it also says Trumas Hashem. So how come you're making a distinction? Meiser Sheni, it's called Kodesh Lashem, and you can't be Mekadesh a woman with it because it's Mamun Gavoa, but Truma, which is also referred to as Trumas Hashem, you can't be Mekadesh a woman with it. What's going on over here? Rebbe, you seem to be inconsistent. So Gemara says, no, Rebbe is 100% consistent. The locus of Bei Lashem, by Trumas Meiser, it says Trumas Hashem, but it doesn't say Lashem Hu. And therefore, Trumas Meiser isn't called Mamun Gavoa. It is Kedusha to it, it's Trumas Hashem, but it's yours, and therefore you can be Mekadesh a woman with it. So there is no stira. Rebbeinu can say that Maaser Sheni is not yours, whereas Truma is considered yours. Gemara says, well, what about by Chala? Now, Chala is the same as Truma. Chala, of course, is one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna. We mentioned this many times, that when you have a dough of a certain size, so you have to give a portion of it, 1/24 of your regular balabas, to the Kohen. So this Chala is a form of Truma, Vari Chala, and it says by Chala, Dersibo, Titnu Lashem, you have to give it to Hashem. So that implies it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nevertheless, Utnan, HaMekadesh B'Trumos Mekudeshes. If you go and give a woman this challah as her Kiddushin, it is going to work, Mekudeshes. So how come over here we say, my sir, that Shani, it's not, Rameya Kashan you, here it says, Titnu Lashem, it belongs to Hashem. So here it says, Gemara answers for Rameya, the Lok Sibbe Kodesh. Here it does say it's Kodesh. You don't have both. By Maiser Shani, you have both Lashem Hu and Kodesh Lashem. Here, by Trumas Maiser, we only had that it is Kodesh Lashem. And by Chala, we only have Titnu Lashem. By each of them, you don't have both. Okay, so Gemara says, the Lok Sibbe Kodesh. So that's the answer over here, why it's not going to be by Chala. So Chala, the Lok Sibbe Kodesh, so that's the difference. But what about Shvius? Vari Shvius, Dersiv Bo, it says in regards to Shvius, Yovel Hi Kodesh Tiyah Lochem. So this will be Kodesh to you. And according to this, it's not a Mekadesh Reperu Shvius, Mekudeshes. You shouldn't be able to be Mekadesh Reperu Shvius, because it's Lashem. It's Yovel Hi Kodesh Tiyah Lochem. So it is Kedusha to it. So it's Kodesh Lashem. So how come you can be Mekadesh with it, Kasha Rebeir? Again, we get the same test we just gave a minute ago. The Lok Sibbe Lashem. Because yes, it has Kedusha to it, but it doesn't say you have to give it to Hashem. So again, both by the Trumas Meiser, by the Chala, and now by Shvius, it doesn't say both of them, it only says one of them. By Meiser Sheni, it says both of them. Shmuel says, but what about Truma itself? Barei Truma, Dersiv, Kodesh Yisrael, La Hashem, Reishis to Asal. So this here, it tells us that it is Kodesh to Hashem, and it has Kedusha to it, like the Bikurim. So therefore, Utnan, HaMekadesh, again, it says Truma each time, but I said I read it Betrumos, because that's the gears on the side. Utnan, HaMekadesh, Betrumos, Mekudeshes. So this woman is Mekudeshes, but here Truma seems to have both. So Gemara says, no, it doesn't have both. It sounds like it had both, because it says, how be Yisrael, Ksiv. The Kodesh Yisrael, Lashem, is reference to Klai Yisrael, and not to the Truma. Return to Nochimor and Beis, Gemara says, that's not fair. that if you tell me Klai Yisrael is Kodesh, like the Bikurim, so that means that the Bikurim are Kodesh.
So here, as Rashi says, the top Rashi, how can you say that this isn't applying to both?
So it has the status of being like Truma to HaKodesh Baruch Hu.
Ushma mina, Truma, Nami, have your Kodesh Hashem.
So here we have Kodesh Hashem, and we have, it belongs to Hashem, Tidru Hashem.
So therefore, we now have a problem. Here we have an example where something has both of them, and yet it's different than Maisa Sheni. Here you can give this as Kiddushin, whereas Maisa Sheni you can't. So that can't be the reason.
So we have to have another reason. So Tirguma Ravin Saba. So the elder Ravin said, Kameh de Rav, in front of Rav, Amakwa. The following is the Pasuk. It says over here, who? Which means by Maisa Sheni, who? La Hashem, who? Bahaviyoso Yehei. It has to be that way. So Rashi says, Gabi Maisa, it says La Hashem, who? Bahaviyoso Yehei La Hashem. It stays in Hashem's possession. It never leaves Hashem's possession. As opposed to, by Truma, it does. So therefore, that's the distinction between Maisa Sheni, that you can't give Kiddushin to according to Rav Meir, and the others, that you can be Mekadesh a woman with them. Okay, so now we finally understand Rav Meir Shita, and now we can get around to the seeming disconnects that we had in Rav Yehuda Shita by Maisa Sheni and Rav Meir Shita in regards to Hekdesh. And now just we'll repeat ourselves, the Mishnah, what was the Machlokas in regards to Hekdesh between Rav Meir and Yehuda? So Behekdesh, in regards to Hekdesh, Rav Meir said, B'mezid Kidesh, if you intentionally gave a woman Hekdesh item, so she accepted it, she knows it's Hekdesh, you know it's Hekdesh, so then the woman is Mekudeshes. But Bishogeg, if you by accident gave her something, you didn't realize it was Hekdesh, she didn't realize it was Hekdesh, Bishogeg lo kidesh divi Rameir. Rameir says, in that situation, you're not Mekadesh the woman. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Why did Rameir say, in regards to Mezid, you are Mekadesh the woman, and in regards to Hekdesh, Bishogeg, you're not Mekadesh the woman? We'll explain that momentarily, but that needs to be explained. It doesn't follow logically. As opposed to, Rav Yehuda Omer, Bishogeg Kidesh. When you do Me'ila, so that takes it away from being Hekdesh, and we can understand why Bishogeg, you're Mekadesh woman with Hekdesh, because it no longer belongs to Hekdesh. B'mezid, when you're not removing it from Hekdesh, lo Kidesh. Rav Yehuda's Shita makes very good sense. It doesn't need to be explained. It's not a disconnection over here between Shogeg and Mezid. It fits in very well. Bishogeg, you're Moel, it leaves Hekdesh. You can be Mekadesh the girl, because it no longer belongs to Hekdesh. It belongs to you. You removed it by your act of Me'ila. Whereas B'mezid, you didn't remove it with an act of Me'ila. Therefore, it belongs still to Hekdesh and Lo-Kiddush. So Rav Yehuda doesn't need explanation. So Rav Meir, in regards to Hekdesh, needs explanation. And Rav Yehuda, in regards to Maisa Sheni, needs explanation. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. I'm a Rav Yaakov. Shamis minad Rav Yochanan Tarti. I heard from Rav Yochanan the explanation for why Rav Yehuda, in regards to Maisa Sheni, says his difference of opinion, where he said that in regards to a Shogeg, low Kidesh by Maisa Sheni, in regards to Mezit, he was Kidesh, and why Rav Meir said in regards to Kodesh, Hekdesh, you're Memezit Kidesh, and Meshogeg, low Kidesh. So you have to explain Rav Yehuda in regards to Maisa Sheni, and Rav Meir in regards to Hekdesh. So Shamis Minad, Rav Yochanan Tarti, I heard this from Rav Yochanan. Shigas Maisa, Rav Yehuda, how we can explain why by Shogeg, by Maisa Sheni. In fact, Rav Yehuda says that lo kidesh, whereas by Mezid he does say you're Mekadesh, and Shigas Hekdesh with Rav Meir, whereas Rav Meir says Behekdesh B'mezid Kidesh or B'shogeg lo kidesh. It doesn't make sense. Those two need to be explained. And I heard Rav Yaakov said from Rav Yochanan that in fact Shneim ain isha miskadeshes b'hem. In both of them, the women didn't want it. In the case of Rav Yehuda B'shogeg lo kidesh, the woman didn't want to accept the Maisa Sheni B'shogeg. And likewise, in the case of Rav Meir by the Hekdesh, B'mezid Kidesh, but B'shogeg lo kidesh, the woman didn't want to accept the Hekdesh when she didn't know about it, so she's in fact not accepting it, lo kidesh. Shneim, ain isha mekadesh. In both cases, the woman didn't want it. And in one case, chada, lefisha ain isha rotze, v'chada, lefisha ain shneim rotze. One of these two cases was because the woman didn't want to accept it, and the other one, it was because both the woman and the man. So the woman, in both cases, didn't want to accept it, and in one case, the man also didn't want to give it. So, I don't know which one, however, Rav Yaakov said, v'lo yadana heminayu, was both the man and the woman, in the case of Rav Yehuda, saying that Shogeg lo kidesh by Maisa Sheni, was that both the man and the woman not wanting it? And in the case of Hekdesh by Rav Meir, it was Bishogeg lo kidesh only according to the woman, or vice versa. In the case of Bishogeg lo kidesh according to Rav Meir, it was both the man and the woman that didn't want it. And in the case of Rav Yehuda, by Shogeg lo kidesh, it was only the woman that didn't want it. And you'll see what I mean. If that was a little bit complicated, you'll see what I mean now inside. Rav Yirmiyah.
Let's see ourselves if we can figure this out, which one it is. Rav Yaakov, you said you heard the answer, but you don't remember which one of Yochanan said. Let's see if we can figure it out ourselves. Nefsi or not. In regards to Maiser Sheini, again, Rav Yehuda says, Shogeg lo kidesh. That's the critical thing we have to figure out. Why not? Meiz kidesh, because he says it's not Mamon Gavoa. But why by Shogeg lo kidesh? So, Ihi lo nicholah. Rav Yehuda says, she doesn't want to become Mikudeshes with Maiser Sheini funds. Now that she finds out it's Maiser Sheini, I don't want that. Because Mishum Tircha de Urcha. This is worthless. The way Rashi understands this in the first Pshat in Rashi is that this is worth nothing until she gets to Yerushalayim. So she hasn't yet received a Shavu Pruta because she can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim, so it's not worth anything outside of Yerushalayim. But the bottom line is, I don't want to go up to Yerushalayim. I live in Haifa, and I'm going to have to be Matriach myself to go up to Yerushalayim. Mishum Tircha de Urcha. She doesn't want to go and take it. That's why we understand why Rav Yehuda says, "L'maisasheni shogi lo kidesh." She didn't want to accept it, but him too. Rav Yehuda says, "Ihu nichole de nikne." He is very happy to give her the maisasheni. It's no skin off his back. It's a mimela. The woman is getting married anyway, so he didn't have to do anything. He gave her maisasheni money. It's no skin off his back. So, in regards to the maisasheni question, it was only because the woman didn't accept it. Rav Yehuda said, Shogeg lo kidesh. But by the hektish, what we said, the Rameyah says that if you give the hektish and it was unknown, it was both the men and the women. Tarvayu lo nichaluhu. The nischil hektish ayidayu. That neither of them wants to be the one to cause this hektish to leave hektish's hands. So if it was b'shogeg, neither of them wants it. So this is how Rav Yirmiyah wanted to understand Rav Yaakov's statement. I know Rav Yochanan said in one case it applied to both the man and the woman, the other case only to the woman. So he says, Rav Yirmiyah says, let us say by the hektish case it applies to both the man and the woman. Rav Meir says that they neither one wanted to be Makadish behektish, whether it was with toes, was by mistake, they didn't know about it. So then both the man and the woman don't want to be Mechal hektish. As opposed to the Maaseh Sheni, the man says, no skin off my back. So what? If it was Mishogeg, I'm happy that she's married to me. There's no skin off my back. Where she says, I don't want to be Matriach myself to have to go up to Yerushalayim. That's the way Rav Yirmiyah understood it. Rav Yaakov says, Pumfaket. Rav Yaakov, he says, no, exact Pumfaket. I disagree with you, Rav Yirmiyah. I would have learned it the exact opposite way. If Chumistabra, you're saying that the Maaseh Sheni is only the woman, and the Hektish is both the man and the woman, I'd say the exact opposite. Milo Ikla Meima, you could argue as follows. In regards to Maaseh Sheni, where Rav Yehuda says, Shogeg lo kidesh, it applies to both of them. Ihilo nichala mishum tircha d'orcha. As you just said, she doesn't feel like going all the way up to Yerushalayim. However, Ihu lo nichala mishum unso d'orcha. He doesn't want to have to go and take responsibility for it. As I said, the simple understanding is that she doesn't yet get mikudeshes until she eats it in Yerushalayim. And meaning, if it gets lost along the way, she's not mikudeshes. And therefore, he has to accept upon himself unso d'orcha. In case it gets lost, he got to be mikadesh her again. So he doesn't want to do that. So therefore, both the man and the woman, this is a simple way to understand this, the review that says, Shogeg lo kidesh is both the man and the woman, Rav Yochanan had said. And it's the case of Hektish. No, El Hektish, Bishlam I lo nichala, the naskil Hektish ayoda. She doesn't want to go and deconsecrate Hektish, to be responsible for the consecration of Hektish. He says, Elihu, mino lichala. The nikne itza mimele. He says, no, I want to get married to this woman. I don't have any cash right now. I'm taking something from Hektish, and I'm going to give it to this woman. No, if I'd known it was Hektish, I still wanted to give it to her because I don't have any money right now. So therefore, it doesn't bother me that I'm being mischal of Hektish. More important to me to get married. No, I'll pay Hektish back when I can, but right now I got nothing. So this way, I can be mekadesh the woman. So therefore, Rav Yaakov himself says that Rav Yochanan said that it's only the woman by the Hektish of Rav Meir that says, b'shogeg, that it's not Mikudeshes, because the man would be happy to be Mikudeshes, even Mishogeg. Whereas by the Maaseh Sheni, both of them don't want it. Okay. Now, Bar Minei, Rava Mirachisda, Rava Es Rachisda, the following Shaila. Isha, Ein Miskadeshes, Mos, Mashi Yesu Luchule. Okay, we just said that Rav Meir holds that if it's done by accident, she's not Mikudeshes. So what happens to the money, however? Is there a mi'ila or is there no mi'ila? The money was given over by the man to the woman. Now, she didn't accept it because Rav Meir holds in that situation she doesn't want to be the cause for the hektish to be nischala. Fine. But was, in fact, mi'ila committed over here? Isha, she's not mekudeshes. However, Maus Maushi Tulchulun, was there me'ila on the money? So Rav Chisda answers Rabbi. He says, no, there is no me'ila on the money. Amalei, Ishai mekudeshes, miskadeshes. If the woman is not miskadeshes, so then Maus Hech Yetulchulun. On what way did the Maus become deconsecrated? She didn't accept it. So therefore, the Maus stay where they are. The Maus are still hektish. Okay, great. That's what it is with regards to kedushin. However, boy minei Rav Chia bar Avin mi Rav Chisda. Then, as a follow-up question, Rav Chia bar Avin answered Rav Chisda, what about by a sale? B'mecher mai. In regards to a sale, what would be that locha? As Rashi says, b'mecher mai, locha chachet b'etzimos hektish b'shogeg. Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir's opinion, it says, you're not acquiring it when you have hektish given b'toz b'shogeg, so the woman doesn't want it, possibly the man doesn't want it as well, they don't want to be mischal the hektish, so therefore, it's no me'ila. But what about if it's a sale? It's not kedushin. Do we say over here, kana or lo kana? You could argue, listen, nobody wants to be in schalach hektish, and therefore the sale goes off. Or you could say, listen, a sale is different than kedushin. By kedushin, we understand, we don't want to have your marriage start off being based upon a sin. But there's a sale, and if I don't do the sale right now, it may not be there. Or the guy won't want to buy from you later on. So both of them are willing. The person who's selling it as well as the person who's buying it, maybe both of them say, yeah, no, we're happy. Even though we're in schalach hektish, we're happy. Or they say no. Nobody wants to be mischal hektish. So b'mechemai, that's the question Rav Chia bar Avin asked to Rav Chisda. So here Rav Chisda answers, amalei af b'mechelo kana. Same thing like b'kedushin. There is no acquisition over here of the sale. Nobody wants the hektish to become mischal based upon their sale over here. Rav Chia bar Avin is not happy with this. He says, wait a second. Esvei, we have a following b'risa. Rashi in Dibur HaMaschil, Chenvoni Kibalabais goes through the background over here, and he says, this is the Mishnah in Me'ila, Mishni b'Me'ila. It goes as follows, Gizbar Hamafkid Mos Eitzel Shulchani. If you have the guy that is in charge of the hektish, so he has hektish funds, but he also has personal funds, and he mistakenly gives to the Shulchani, who's the money changer, hektish funds, when he meant to give him personal funds. So Gizbar Hamafkid Mos Eitzel Shulchani. So im tsrurim, if they were bundled up, it means that the shulchani is just watching them and doesn't have the right to do business with them, otherwise he wouldn't have bundled them up. So therefore, lo yishtamish behem, the shulchani has no right to use them. And therefore, the hektish hasn't yet had the money go out from his possession. It still belongs to the possession of the gizbor. And as long as it's in his possession, it's not called me'ila. Lefikach, therefore, im hotzi, if the shulchani does use those funds that were bundled up, lo mo'al ha-gizbor, the treasurer is not the one who did me'ila, because he didn't do anything wrong, and it was the shulchani who did something, not as shlichus, because he wasn't allowed to use it, it was bundled up, but he just used it, so then the shulchani in that situation is going to be over me'ila. However, v'im mosarim, if the gizbar, the treasurer, gave it over to the shulchani untied, so then yishtamish b'hem, he has the right to go and use it, because everybody knows when you give the money to the shulchani, you'll get your money back, but lav dafka, the same exact coins. So lefikach, in that situation, he's acting as a shaliach of the gizbar. So im hotzi mo'al ha-gizbar, the Berush would say, avad. In that situation, since he had permission to use the funds, he's acting as if he's a shaliach of the gizbar, and when he changes those funds for other funds, that's when the meal occurs, but he's not mo'al, as we pointed out previously. Here you have a shliach d'var aveira by me'ila. You can have a shliach d'var aveira if he's doing what the shlichus was, so then the one who sent him, the gizbar, is going to be over the me'ila. The Meida Yoda, because the Gizbar knows the Shulchani Tzorich Lemos, Tadir. He definitely needs money back and forth every day. He exchanges quarters for nickels, for dollars, for dimes. So therefore, they had to have the right to use him. So everybody agrees that if they were bundled up, there is no Me'ila on the Gizbar, the Me'ila is on the Shulchani. If they're Mutarim, if they're untied, so then there's no Me'ila on the Shulchani, there's only Me'ila on the Gizbar. Avol balabayis. If you give up the money to a balabayis, he has no right to use it. He doesn't need money all the time. So whether it's tied or untied, benkach or benkach, lo yishtamish behem. A balabayis has no right to go use it, even if they're untied. The lab adaiti the hochi akidinu. When the gizbor gave it to him, it was just watches for me. I don't care if it's untied or tied. I didn't give you permission to use it. And therefore, gabei the stam balabayis enu mishtamish tamid b'moz, since he doesn't normally need money, so then if he uses it, he's not acting as a shlichus for the gizbar. Lefikach imhotzi, if the balabayis does take it out, he is mo'al balabayis, v'lo ha-gizbar shev kido, and not the gizbar that gave it to him. So again, in the two extremes, the shulchani and the balabayis, everybody agrees that there is mila in the appropriate way that we just described. Now, they all agree that there's mila over here. Then that's going to be the question that Rav Chiya bar Rabin asks to Rav Chisda. What about the case, this Mishnah continues in Mila, Chenvani, if you gave, the Gizbar gave the money to a Chenvani, a storekeeper, he's different than a money changer, he's different than a Balabayis. So, Chenvani ki Balabayis, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that the Chenvani has the status of the Balabayis. In other words, he's not allowed to use the money, whether it's bundled or even if it's loose. Whereas that's the opinion of Meir, Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Chenvani ki Shulchani, we treat the Chenvani like a Shulchani. And therefore, if the money is tied up, he's not allowed to use it. But if the money is musarin, if it's not tied up, he is allowed to use it. Now, what do we see from over here? Both Rav Meir and Yehuda, ad kan lo kom liflugi, elo de ma'asavar chen v'gin kishulchni, o ma'asavar chen v'gin v'albayis. The only thing that they're arguing about is, do we consider the chenvani to be like a shulchani? That was the opinion of Yehuda. Or do we consider the chenvani to be like the balabayis? That was the opinion of Meir. But they both hold abo de kule amo im hotzimah. They all hold that there's me'il over here. Now, wait a second. This is done unwittingly. And even Rav Meir says that there's me'ila. So how could you say, Rav Chisda, that by a mecher, there is no me'ila? Here you see that Rav Meir holds that there is me'ila. So Gemara says, no. Rav Meir, l'dvar the Yehuda komar. Rav Meir says, according to me, I don't hold that there's me'ila over here. But according to you, don't say that the chenveni is like a shulchani. You should say the chenveni is like a balabayis. As Rav Meir further explains, the word says, Lididi, according to me, imhotzi nami lomah. I hold that there's no meal over here. The only time you have meal is if you eat it. If you just gave it to somebody else, it still belongs to Hekdesh. So what if it's now in another place? It still belongs to Hekdesh, and there is no meilah. So I personally hold that by the chenveni, by the shulchani, and by the balabayis, there is no din of meal over here as long as it's still extant. It belongs to Hekdesh. I don't hold it went away from Hekdesh. Elul Lididach, according to you, that does hold that an unintentional act, the shogeg act, can be an act of milah, so at least admit, Odi Li, Mia, at least admit to me, the chenveni ka balabayis. The chenveni makes more sense. He should be like the balabayis, because he doesn't have real usage of money, and therefore he shouldn't have used the money, even if it wasn't tied up. And Amalei, Rehuda says to him, no, I hold that the chenveni does have a right to use the money if it's untied, and therefore he's like a shulchani. Lo, I don't agree with you, he's like the balabayis, ki shulchani. I say he should be like the shulchani. So therefore, you can't bring a raya. The Rav Meir, in fact, holds that there is me'ila. Rav Chisda was correct in stating, no, that even by a mecher, Rav Meir holds that there is no me'ila, after mecher lo kana, because his reading of this price is, he holds across the board this me'ila. It's only according to Rav Yehuda that this me'ila, that you should say he was like a, according to Rav Meir, you should say he's like a balabais and not like the shulchani. Okay, this is a good break point. We're still in the middle of this sugya, but we'll stop over here. Again, I'm dictating this on Erev Yom Kippur. I hope everybody has a good Gibben Shtor, a Gemara Chasim Matova, and Yitz Hashem. When you listen to this, it will be in the middle of Sukkot. If you're listening according to the time of the Daf, you should have a wonderful Chag Sameach, and we all shall enjoy basking in the Sukkot in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, with the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Kol Tov.